In the ER, you see people at their physical, emotional, and psychological low point. Otherwise, why would you go to the ER? And you never see them again. So after a while, it gets a little frustrating depressing to just always see people at their low point. First of all, what is stress? You know, I'd say stress is not accepting the moment for what it is. I actually think that cancer fills in the space that love should be filling in, and that it's the lack of love may be a huge issue with cancer. You know, it's a focus thing. We tend to seem, there are more words in the English language that have a negative connotation than a positive connotation. So the question is, yeah, what is your focus? Well, you know, I think that any day above ground is a great day.
Hey guys, and welcome to the I Love Success podcast. This is the podcast where I meet the coolest and most successful people on the planet and share their stories. I'm glad to be on this journey together with you. We are on a big, fat, and crazy mission that makes me wake up hungry and alive every morning. Our mission is to help 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams. I can't do it myself, and because of that, I'm so happy to meet amazing people from all over the world. The most important person is you. You're listening to this right now and have made a decision to do something with your life. Thank you for trying to be the best version of yourself. Get ready to get started, because here we go. Before we get started, let's give it up to our sponsor, Panos Emporio. Panos Emporio is Scandinavia's leading swimwear brand and has over 30 years of experience in swimwear. The brand has a worldwide loyal customer base with dedicated followers ranging from Hollywood stars and top celebrity models to world famous athletes and royal families. Go to panos.com to learn more. For more than 40 years, Dr. Michael Galitzer has been acknowledged as a key player when it comes to longevity and anti-aging medicine. That's why influential figures from six continents, including Hollywood's top celebrities, have been flocking to the Santa Monica Clinic. Dr. Galitzer's revolutionary approach consistently helps his patients look and feel much younger than they are, experience greater levels of energy and excitement, reduce stress and tension that lead to disease, increase their feelings of joy, gratitude, and abundance, and take complete command of their mind, body, and spirit. Welcome, Dr. Galitzer.
Thanks for having me, Peter. Pleasure to be here.
I'm so glad to be here with you and discuss this field of longevity and living a long life, because most of us want to do that, right?
Correct. Most people, though, when I ask my patients, would you like to live to 100? They say, not if I'm in a wheelchair or in a walker or in a nursing home. So I think the real key is getting somebody to get outstanding health, which is why I wrote that book called Outstanding Health. People want to feel great. People want outstanding health. And if you have outstanding health, you will have longevity.
And we're going to talk a lot more about that today. I just want to start to talk a little bit about you. Would you mind telling me who are you?
Who am I?
Yeah.
Well, I am a, I'd say, a very caring, giving person who's out there wanting to spread the word and help as many people as I can in what I do.
And how did your interest for medicine start? Can we talk about that? Did you know when you were a kid that you wanted to become a doctor? Or?
Well, you know, I was born in Germany. Few years after the war, World War II, and came to America when I was a year old, landed on Memorial Day in New York City. You know, went to Bronx High School of Science for high school, went to college at Buffalo Med School in Syracuse. And basically, the real truth is that I didn't have a clue about what I wanted to do. And my parents, who were really unfortunately didn't have the education that I got, really thought education was key, and thought in those days doctors were like respected. You know, I was always great in
you
science.
Still are.
Yeah. Well, they're a little less respected than they were then, and so they thought it was a great idea for me to be a doctor. And I, you know, I had an inclination for science, and I don't know that I had this altruistic wanting to save the world as a kid. I mean, I don't know how many kids really want to do that, honestly. But I went with that. I went with college, did great, you know, had great grades, and got accepted to med school. I was very grateful that I am doing what I am doing, although I had no clue that what I'm doing now is what I, you know, thought about when I was a, you know, a little kid.
Outstanding health. What does it mean to have an outstanding health?
I would say that health is energy, number one. I think I'd go a little further and say that coherence is involved. Cells need to talk to each other. Signaling is involved. You've got the nervous system that needs to signal. You've got the hormonal system that signals. So I'd say it's energy, coherence, and signaling. But ultimately, health is energy. And so the more energy you have, usually the healthier people are. And we can measure energy in different ways in the office. You can't see energy on a blood test. You can't see energy on a MRI or a CAT scan. But you can talk to people, and they'll tell you. You know, I mean, I see people that come in, and the number one complaint is, I don't feel good. And they've had normal X-rays. They've had normal CAT scans, MRIs. Blood tests are normal. I'm tired. I can't sleep. I'm stressed. I have allergies. My joints hurt. My back hurts. And so those complaints are really ultimately a sign of lack of energy, energy not flowing throughout the body. As the Chinese talk about in acupuncture, it flows through meridians. And so I'd say the easiest way to define health is energy. Now, I think you've got to, you know, there's a physical part to health. There's a hormonal part to health. There's a spiritual part to health. I think you need love in your life. I would say that the three keys probably on the deeper levels are a sense of purpose of your life, your goals, your dream, your vision. What is it right now? What are you excited about right now? Excitement, passion. And what are you grateful for? So I'd say on the deeper levels, purpose, passion, and gratitude are key. On other levels, you have to have less toxicity, you have to have hormonal balance, and you have to have energy.
And I think also what you said, health is energy, right? So how much of that do you believe is mental and physical? Because some days I could be very physically tired, but if I'm around people that I love or look forward to something, I have a lot of energy anyways. Is that something that you would like to elaborate on?
Yes. I came into this kind of energy medicine work thinking that it was like a one-way street, mind affects body, and that if your head's together, your body will be together. But I realized that body-mind is just as important, and that stress, the concept of stress, affects the adrenal glands, as an example. Now, the adrenal glands sit on top of the kidneys, and they're the glands first affected by any kind of stress, mental stress, emotional stress, nutritional stress, environmental stress, electromagnetic stress. You got your cell phone to your head talking to your friend for an hour. Physical stress, surgery, you're hurt at the gym, you're in a car accident. Infectious stress, bacteria, viruses, yeast infections. Whenever there's a stressor that occurs for a long period of time and or several stressors that occur simultaneously, the adrenals continue to fire stress hormones, cortisol and DHEA. Eventually, your ability to handle stress is reduced because the adrenals get tired. And then, therefore, stress is no longer a challenge. It becomes a threat. You can't differentiate big stress from little stress. You overreact to little things. And ultimately, I mean, picture you wake up in the morning, you got 10 things to do, and your brain is having conversation with your adrenals. And your brain says, look, I know you can secrete hormones that can get me through the day because I got a lot on my plate today. And your adrenals go back and say, I've got nothing to give you. I'm tapped out. Well, you're going to get anxious. And acute anxiety, I see that all the time because you know you don't have the resources to deal with the demands of the day. So I see more body, mind, adrenal fatigue affecting mental outlook than I see mind-body, or as much as. So I find that, we're looking at the body from an energetic point of view, a deeper point of view. The analogy is that... If you saw a cardiologist, you would do an EKG because there's electricity in the heart. If you saw a neurologist, you'd do an EEG. There's electricity in the brain. But there's also electricity in your liver, kidneys, pancreas, adrenals, thyroid. So I tend to say to people, think of your body as an orchestra, and the organs and glands are instruments in that orchestra. Some are out of tune, sluggish. Some are in tune. If we can get everything out of tune, in tune, then the orchestra plays better music. That's one concept. The other concept is toxins. When I was in the ER doc, we were concerned about life-threatening toxins, overdoses, sleeping pills, carbon monoxide poisoning, chemical spills, oil spills. Here, we're exposed to toxins in the air, the water, the food. You know, the food supply is a little questionable these days. There's GMO foods, there's pesticides, there's heavy metals. So we're flooded with toxins. Toxins accumulate in our bodies and our bodies don't work well. So toxicity can cause an overloaded liver, which can cause you to be irritable, which can interfere with your sleep. You wake up between 1 and 3. So it's a two-way street. Toxins, getting the orchestra balanced, getting your hormones straight. And ultimately, though, I think if you're on purpose and you're passionate and you're grateful, I think you can get through most of these things.
So let's talk. I love what you said. 10% focus on the problem, 90% on the solution. So let's focus a little bit about on the solution. What can we do? How do you live your life? And what can we do as human beings to live more on purpose or and healthier and longer lives?
All right. Well, let's look at, let's kind of divide it into three areas. Toxicity, one. Hormonal balance, number two. And the deeper emotional, spiritual aspects, number three. So toxicity, toxins in the air, water, food. If you've got mercury fillings in your teeth that leak mercury, the old fillings, you got to get them out. But more importantly, toxins are accumulate in the body, but it's the job of three major organs, the liver, the lymph, and the kidneys, to start removing those toxins. So toxins move through those organs on their way out into the urine and the stool. We call those drainage organs. First four letters in liver are LIV. So the liver is the number one drainage organ. It really filters the blood. It's active, most active between 1 and 3 in the morning when people frequently wake up because their liver is imbalanced. So what can you do for your liver? You can juice a lemon in the morning. Take a lemon, cut in half, squeeze the juice out of both halves, pour into 6 to 8 ounces of water. Juice vegetables, acupuncture for your liver, herbs for the liver, homeopathy for the liver. So there's a lot you can do for the liver. For your kidneys, asparagus, parsley, pomegranate, great kidney foods. Horsetail tea helps the kidneys. Lots of good water. You don't want distilled water because it's dead water. It doesn't have any minerals. But you want filtered water, bottled water, alkaline water. All those things are great for the kidneys. For the lymph system, no dairy, deep breathing, and exercise. A rebounder, a mini trampoline, jumping jacks. Any kind of exercise with deep breathing will help move the lymph. So the concept of drainage is really, really important because you want the toxins to be moving through those drainage organs. You don't want to do detox before you do drainage. Like you don't want to have a colonic or you do chelation or you do enemas or you do infrared saunas because detox pulls the toxins out of the cells. They go into the blood. But if the liver is clogged up, you'll get sicker before you get better. And so it's like having a bowel movement on a toilet that won't flush. So you want to do drainage first, detox second. So that whole toxicity key is key. Now, you want to eat organic. I think one of the myths is that people think that by eating organic, they can get the toxins out. You can't. You cannot get, I mean, it's very important to eat organic and eat healthily, but the food by itself doesn't really get toxins out. Fasting may, but eating organic is a must, but it won't get the toxins out. You've got to go a little further in terms of toxicity.
And what do you think about alcohol? Is that something that is very bad for a long life?
Yeah, I don't think alcohol is a good guy at all. I think alcohol is a depressant, number one. I can't drink. I mean, I get depressed after 30 minutes. It doesn't feel right for me. I think that it loosens people up. I think it causes them to feel more social. I think probably one drink is fine. But there's a big difference between one drinks and three drinks. I think it's a toxin to the liver and it's a depressant. So I think caffeine is a lot healthier for people than or coffee.
Is coffee good for you?
Alcohol. There's a lot of good information on coffee being pretty good for you. The only thing I think when coffee isn't good for you is when you're drinking 5 cups of coffee to keep your energy up because your adrenals are tired. And I think that's where it really gets to be problematic. But I think that a cup of coffee is fine in the morning. Organic, of course, because if it's got pesticides, you don't want to do that. So you really want a cup of organic coffee. But alcohol, I think, is more of a no-no. And it's funny, people never tell you the truth, your patients, about how much they drink. You know, yeah. I drink socially. Well, how social are you? You know, so they never really tell you the truth.
Yeah. And what's your opinion about marijuana?
Marijuana. A lot of people are certainly using it for sleep. And, you know, there are two types of marijuana. There's the indica and the sativa. And the indica seems to help people sleep. I think CBD seems to be very helpful for a lot of people too in terms of pain, inflammation, and also sleep. So again, just like anything else, you know, you don't want to abuse it, but there are some people that certainly benefit from it. Do I think it's good for kids? No, because I think it takes away that ambition. I think it really kind of, you get stoned. You know, if you get stoned, how juiced can you be on life? So I think it's a problem with kids. And I think teenagers, and I think there's a real issue with that, you know, drugs in general in our society there right now. But I think basically, just like anything else, if it's done prudently and you don't get into your car after you get high, I don't think you want to be doing that. But again, I do think that there are people that are getting a lot of benefit from the sativa part for sleep.
And how important is sleep for longevity, and how much should a person sleep?
Sleep is key, and key is uninterrupted sleep, you know, whether it be, some people need 6 hours, some people need 8 hours, some people need 4 hours. I think the more emotional stress you are in your life, the longer people tend to sleep. But I'd say that for most people, six and a half hours of sleep is great. The question is it interrupted? And most of the time that I hear, it is interrupted. People wake up between 1 and 3, can't get back to sleep, spend an hour trying to get back to sleep. That's tough sleep. And so, again, that's where the toxicity issues come in, the liver issues, the adrenal issues, all those kind of things. So I think sleep is critical.
How much of an effect do you think this whole, our phones, our smartphones are creating on sleeping worse and have more stress and more dopamine levels in our life because of all these updates that we get?
Well, certainly the screens, the blue screens, you shouldn't really be looking at your computers or smartphones with the blue screens. You certainly have the ability now to create an orange screen at night to get rid of the blue. I think the real key is that you want your bedroom as electromagnetically quiet as possible. So you don't want your smartphone in the bedroom. You don't want your portable phone being charged in your bedroom. You don't want to sleep on a waterbed. You don't want to sleep with an electric blanket. You don't want an electric alarm clock by the head of the bed. If you had, by the way, the ideal position would be with your head to the north, but that's not always easy to construct.
Why is that?
A bedroom. That's been found to be the best way to sleep, with your head to the north. So we're most sensitive to the EMFs at night, so you really want to keep your bedroom electrically quiet. You don't want the smart meter outside your bedroom, as an example, in your house or outside your house. During the day, it's a lot easier for us to deal with the EMFs, but at night, you really want to get your bedroom EMF free. You may want to turn off your Wi-Fi in your house before you go to sleep and then turn it back on in the morning. So whatever you can do to reduce the EMFs in your house would be really, really important. It would really have a major effect on your sleep.
And how important is it to be, can you live long and be overweight, for example?
I don't think you can do too well with that, being overweight. It's like carrying an extra chair on your heart. It's just a huge burden on your heart. The fat, by the way, fat cells release inflammatory hormones, or inflammatory cytokines, they're called. And those cytokines increase inflammation, make your arthritis worse, and really create havoc in your body. So losing weight, I think having your ideal weight is really, really critical. But, nobody's really happy with their weight. Yeah. Women don't seem to be happy if they're happy if they're not, they're too thin or too fat or, I gained 2 pounds in the last 2 months. I mean, women seem to have more of an issue, and I think it's because, our society puts so much value on how a woman's supposed to look. But guys don't seem to, care. Guys are never fat, by the way. They're always big.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever noticed that.
So interesting.
Yeah.
I have one more question that I ask all my guests, and that is, we're all about dreams and goals, and people that have listened to you today, when they're done with this podcast, if there's just one thing they can do to start going after their passion or their dreams, what would be the first thing they can do right now?
I think the easiest way to get passionate is to move your body, is to exercise. And I find that, we never talked about that, but when I ask people what they exercise, they basically say, well, I walk the dog. Well, that's not enough. Again, we're a high performance vehicle here that needs to run on the track after we have the high octane fuel. So I'd say the easiest way to get your passion is to get exercise. I believe in movement to create movement. And I think you've got to start moving. And once you start moving physically, you start moving mentally. And once you start moving mentally, then all sorts of things can happen to you. So I'd say it's a little simplistic, but in order to start getting your passion, you got to start moving.
I love it. It was truly an honor, Dr. Michael Galitzer, to have you here today to share your tips and tools and what you have learned by doing this for basically almost all your life. And you're going to do this for many more years. So thank you so much.
Well, great, Peter. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And thank you, everybody, that listen in. If you really like what we do and you enjoy this, please share it with your friends, your family, so they also can learn from Dr. Galitzer and improve their lives. And that was it for today. Thank you, everybody, and talk soon. Bye-bye.